You're listening to Nerding Out with Laura on CICK 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. We are broadcasting from the train car located on unceded Cassia territory of the Gidimden clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Today, I am going to talk about the history of technology and housework. And to start it off, I have an older song by Australian musician Maura Tyres titled Housework Sucks. Enjoy.
Housework sucks, it's just not fair. I told my husband and my husband don't care, 'cause I'm a loaded with work. God, I hate this life. Some kind of torture that comes with being a wife. Ironing stinks and that washing smells. Scrubbing the floor can all go to hell, 'cause I'm over the stuff. Who do they think I am? A superwoman, mother, gardener, man. Do you think I'm crazy? Do you think it's all right that a woman like me should put up such a fight? Mama says I'm lazy, my dad says to write. Just stay up till you finish it tonight. I ain't stupid, 'cause I'm really quite bright, and you know it. Can't you really see I show it? Who needs the housework when all you need is a G&T? Go gin and tonic. Should put up such a fight. Mama says I'm lazy, my dad says to write. Just stay up until you finish it tonight. They're all wrong, I know I'm right. I ain't stupid, 'cause I'm really quite bright, and you know it. Can you really see I show? Fresh air, 'cause I'm all tired out. What do people know? A cooking and a cleaning, then off to work I'll go. Do you think I'm crazy? Do you think it's all right that a woman like me should put up such a fight? Mama says I'm lazy, my dad says to write. Just stay up until you finish it tonight. They're all wrong, I know I'm right. I ain't stupid, 'cause I'm really quite bright, and you know it. Can't you really see I show?
You're listening to Nerding Out with Laura on CICK 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. You just heard Housework Sucks by Maura Tyres. That came out in 2006. And we are talking about technology. So what does that word conjure in your mind? Is it factories, cars, planes, computers? Well, the Encyclopedia Britannica defines technology as the application of scientific knowledge to the practical aims of human life, or as it is sometimes phrased, to the change and manipulation of the human environment. It can be as complex as a cell phone or as simple as a shovel. And there's no doubt that technology has made tasks easier for humankind, in communication, travel, healthcare, access to information, but has it actually reduced the amount of labor we are doing? Are you guys tired all the time, especially if you're over 30, perhaps? I am going way back here. Well, not super way back, but back to 1983. A book was published by Ruth Schwartz Cohen titled More Work for Mother: The Ironies of Household Technology from the Open Hearth to the Microwave. And so Ruth is an American historian of science, technology, and medicine, and this book received the Dexter Prize from the Society for the History of Technology in 1984. And I'm going to be pulling all of my information from this book right now. I'm going to go through it. I just read it yesterday in its entirety. It's 267 pages. So I tried really hard to condense it into something that I can fit into this hour and also play some new Canadian music. And yeah, I'm going to try my best to explain it. First, we are going to be introduced to housework and its tools. And we're going to be talking about industrialization, and we're going to be talking about this in the U.S. So this book is entirely based on the USA, and I'm going to say either like American household. I think that generally can apply to Canada as well, but basically like the Americas, the Western world, North America. And so industrialization came about at about 1860 and transformed every American household. Previous to 1860, almost all families did their household work in a manner that their ancestors could have imitated. And when we think of industrialization, a lot of academic articles consider it in the workplace, but it occurred within the four walls of the home just as rapidly as outside of them. Kitchen implements, washing machines, etc., are just as much a product of industrialization as automobiles and factories. But households were not industrialized the same as other workplaces in three ways. It is unpaid work, despite encompassing as much work as a full-time job. It's performed in isolation, so you don't really have coworkers. You might have children around that are kind of like coworkers, but generally it's one adult in isolation. And while market labor has become increasingly specialized and the division of labor more minute, housework contains a large range of tasks from menial physical labor to abstract mental manipulations. So kind of like Jack or Jill of all trades. In some other ways, it does resemble the industrialized market labor. It depends on non-human energy sources like electricity. And even though it is an isolated work environment, it is also part of a larger economic and social system. It could not function without interaction with the outside world. And it is performed with tools that can be neither manufactured or understood by the workers that use them. And when we take these three similarities and three differences into account, we can argue that in the West, over the last 200 years, so-called women's work has been differentiated from so-called men's work. I'm going to define a few terms here. First, we have work process, and this is important for when we consider the housework tasks and whether technology has reduced the amount of labor we are doing. No single part of housework is a simple homogeneous activity. all tasks are linked to others. For cooking, there is the procurement of the foodstuffs, the storage and preparation, the maintenance of the energy source, the maintenance and cleaning of the tools used to do the cooking, and the disposal of resultant waste. For laundry, it's moving clothes from place to place, acquiring chemical agents for cleaning, the washing, the drying, the ironing, the folding, and then the putting away. So it's really important to consider this whole process. So when we're talking about cooking, we're not just talking about the act of like stirring something in a pan. We're talking about the whole process that's required to do that. Then we must also consider a technological system. Every implement used in the home is part of a sequence of implements, a system, in which each must be linked to others in order to function appropriately. So electricity must be supplied to electrical tools. A washing machine requires water pipes. And so when we look at these systems, the industrialization of the home was determined partly by the decisions of individual householders, but also very much by social processes over which householders can be said to have had no control or little control over, because these tools must be used as a part of a larger system in the country. Let's look at the term of housework. How did this come about? So housewifery traces back to the 13th century. Women have always cooked, laundered, sewed, and nursed children. But it wasn't until the feudal period was ending and the capitalist organization of society just beginning that some of the women who did these chores were given the name and social status of housewives. Housewives were the spouses of husbands, and husbands were people whose work was also focused on the house. So hus is the older spelling of house, to which these men were bonded. So either through owning the house or renting it, the housewives and the husbands both derived their status from the existence of their house and its associated land. The man because he had some title to it, and the woman because she was married to him. And these husbands and housewives were the first middle class. So they are neither rich, employing a large household of servants, but they were also not transient laborers with no place to call their own. They worked the land and they made independent decisions about the livestock and tools in their possession, and their economic security was achieved by working together to produce. And so this labor called housewifery from the 13th to 18th centuries acquired a new modern name of housework. And previously, that term would have been redundant, as most people worked within their homes. And we're going to talk about this spheres, so like the domains of men and women and workplaces. So with industrialization, we have this separation of the place for men and the domain of women. I hope you're following along. So men are supposed to be going out and working, and women are working within the home, and this housework has become associated with women, when before it was associated just with men and women who owned a house. And so we're going to talk a bit about how this change occurred from the end of the feudal system to the beginning of industrialization. So what we are going to do is look at a small household of a husband and wife that are going to be cooking a meal. So a common meal of farmers in America in 1750 was a one-pot stew. And we're going to look at the work process and the technology they are using to make this stew. To butcher the meat, the husband would use knives made of wood and iron. The water for preparation and cleaning would likely have been carried by either person from a stream in a bucket of wood with maybe iron or leather girdling. The housewife would put the meat and the water in an iron kettle and suspend it over the fireplace on an iron lug pole, which would be inserted into the mortar of the chimney. The fuel for the fire would be logs, cut, hauled, and chopped and stacked by her husband. The fuel would sit on an iron or brass andiron in a fireplace constructed either of bricks or local field stones, which would be constructed by the husband, most likely. The herbs and vegetables in the stew would come from a kitchen garden planted and tended by the housewife. And the grain for thickening the stew might have been corn or wheat, and mainly the product of male labor. And this was a highly laborious process to grow grain. So it's planting, growing, cutting, and either threshing and winnowing for wheat or husking and scraping for corn. If they had a handmill, the husband would have pushed it or managed the draft animals doing the pushing, or it might be taken to a local mill, probably like water run, and the husband would have hauled it there in a cart. The housewife would skim and stir the stew with wooden spoons whittled by the husband. Any salt would likely have to be purchased with whatever small amount of wages they might have earned from selling items. And once made, the stew would have been served up in handmade wooden trenchers made by the husband and wiped clean with purchased cloth. And because we're looking at a small household just starting out of a husband and wife, they probably wouldn't have a loom or time to weave the cloth themselves. So that also would have been one of their purchased items. The kettle would have been cleaned with sand, a handmade brush made by the housewife, and maybe that purchased cloth. In this whole work process, you can see that there is labor from people of both sexes. And even a simple household like this is not entirely self-sufficient. So like the knives and the kettle, the metal probably would have been purchased. Because only skilled artisans have the requisites to make them. I mean, maybe they could have put something together that would work, but really the amount of time that would be involved in that wouldn't be worth it for this household. This labor division for the sexes would have held for bread making. So producing the wheat and barley is men's work, and the actual like cooking of the bread would have been by the wife. The spinning of the thread, producing and processing flax for linen is men's work. So the women would spin it, but the men would grow the flax, process it, maybe card it into like the linen fiber so that she can spin it. And even though any cleaning was considered women's work, the men would make the lye, the chemical agent that they would use for the cleaning. So there's lots of this division. Everyone's contributing together. And if an 18th century woman attempted housekeeping without the assistance of a man or having lots of extra cash to purchase these services, she would have had to markedly lower her standard of living to undertake these tasks for which she had little training. And similarly, a man in the same circumstances who would have attempted this farming and running of a household without the help of a woman would have also really had to lower their standard of living. And maybe they would have not made it. Maybe they would have starved to death. No matter this sort of arbitrary assigning of the division of the labor, there needed to be a division in order to be able to train in performing these tasks expertly. A small mistake in this time could result in a winter of starvation. It makes more sense for each person to kind of divide the household tasks. Like, this person's going to become really good at this one task, and I'm going to become really good at this other task. And the children in the home learned their work-related roles by becoming assistants to their parents. The daughters learned from the mother, and the sons learned from the father. If someone was ill or injured, usually someone of the appropriate sex would be hired to perform their normal tasks. So a hired girl would mind children, cook and clean. A hired man would do plowing, butchering, and repair work. And these hired assistants would help keep the sexual division of labor intact by filling in when needed and ensuring the mutual dependence of one sex on the other would continue on into the next generation. In the pre-industrial economy, the relationship between tools and productivity was pretty straightforward. The more tools you have, the more you're able to wrench from the land. A plow, team, and yoke would break the soil much more effectively than by hand. Having a sieve, press, and churn meant you could make cheese and butter from milk. An oven allows more bread to be baked at once. So it's a pretty linear relationship. And every domestic chore requires a set of tools. And indeed, the inheritance of a set of farming or housekeeping tools represented a sufficient economic base from which young people could start housekeeping on their own. So if you think of like a wedding shower, traditionally it's like house items that are given. And so that has a long history. You know, maybe it would be a woman getting a kettle as her marriage gift and a man getting a set of farming tools. So these are really important, simple tools that people needed, and they would be assigned based upon your gender. But now we're getting to the 19th century, and America is becoming industrialized, and households were affected by this very much. So people started leaving the households to work in factories, and they would return with wages that could be used for procuring goods. And this demand for goods would continue to fuel the economy. So maybe instead of chopping wood, now you're purchasing coal. And maybe you're not keeping animals and you're purchasing the meat instead. Especially if you've moved from a rural environment to an urban environment, you're not going to be keeping pigs. So it's just more economic to purchase the goods with these wages. And so many historians have concluded that this substitution of manufactured goods for homemade goods and the lowering of the fertility rate, so the average number of children fell from 7 in 1800 to 3.5 in 1900, that these two things eased the burden of women's work. So these women are getting it easy now, like, you can just buy all your stuff. You don't have to work so hard at home to make it. And you're not having as many children. So, like, life is easy, right? But contemporary documents tell a different tale. And I really recommend you checking out this book because there's lots of fun little inserts. There's letters that have been written that the author is pulling this information from. And I don't have the time to read them all out to you. But based on these documents, American women seem to have been exhausted a lot of the time. So this is a quote from a letter written in 1895. "I am daily dropped in little pieces and passed around and devoured and expected to be whole again the next day and all days, and I am never alone for a single minute," end quote. And even women with servants were not immune. So Harriet Beecher Stowe wrote in 1844, quote, "The arranging of the whole house, the cleaning, the children's clothes, and the baby have seemed to press on my mind all at once. Sometimes it seems as if anxious thought has become a disease with me from which I could not be free," end quote. There are observations of the American scene that were frequently commented on the ill health of American married women. In 1852, there's a letter from a Norwegian immigrant that says, quote, "We are told that the women of America have much leisure time, but I haven't yet met any woman who thought so. Here the mistress of the house must do all the work that the cook, the maid, and the housekeeper would do in an upper-class family at home. Moreover, she must do her work as well as these three together do it in Norway," end quote. So even though hundreds of household conveniences were invented and diffused during the 19th century, when we look at discussions by those doing the household work, it seems to have not become more convenient or less tiring. All right. That was a lot of information. We've looked at the work process of a small household in 1750 farming America, and we've talked a little bit about the coming of industrialization, and yet with the assumed reduction of labor for these women doing household work, they're really tired and exhausted. So after this little song break, I'll talk a little bit about why. So I have A Heart Beating. It's a song by Toronto five-piece psych rock band Mother Tongues. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
You're listening to CICK 93.9 Smithers Community Radio. I would like to thank a sponsor. Thank you to Smithers Brewing Company. Perhaps you are a mother listening to this episode and you're going to get really annoyed with what I tell you because you feel like you've been duped, like I have. And then maybe you just need to go have a beer. So go to Smithers Brewing Company and chat about how society could be better. I'm also going to read out a bunch of notices here. There's a whole stack of them. Are you a student who is looking for a fun summer job? Come work at the radio station. It's $18 an hour. It's 35 hours per week for 8 weeks, and you must be a returning student. So you can send your resume to Glenn, G-L-E-N, at smithersradio.com. We also have a bunch of events happening. So tonight there is Symbiez Wilson and band are playing at the Art Gallery starting at 8 p.m. It's $15. There is Tanglewood. This is the Valley Youth Fiddlers tomorrow night at the Della Herman. There's, a Back Alley Bazaar is happening on Sunday, May 7th from 10 to 3 on Railway and Dominion. I don't actually know what that is about, but it sounds interesting. There is, CICK and SBC Music Trivia is Monday, May 15th at 7 p.m. You can register online at smithersradio.com. So it is a team of four for that. Then we have on Saturday, May 13th, the Oro Collective. And this is a dance fusing contemporary styles with street dance, an exciting performance that will be held at the Della Herman, and that is put on by the Concert Association. So lots of fun things to do. I hope you check it out. And let's go back to our housewives, our households, industrialization here that we are talking about. We are going to revisit making a stew and the work process of that. So we previously looked at the work process for 1750, where the division of labor was pretty equal and the men and women were both working pretty hard to produce that stew. So now we're gonna look 100 years later in 1850. And the ingredients would be much the same, but the grain would have changed. So merchant flour milling was a booming business in the latter years of the 18th century, and it was easier and cheaper for ordinary households to purchase flour rather than growing and processing the grain themselves. And the switch to store-bought grains relieved men and boys of one of their most time-consuming household chores that they were responsible for. At the same time, it increased the time and energy that women had to spend in their tasks, particularly in cooking and baking. So before the early 19th century, corn was the dominant grain on American tables. It's easy to grow, harvest, and cook with. And baking with cornmeal was pretty straightforward. You would use baking soda, not yeast, and it wouldn't need any kneading. Similarly, any coarsely ground wheats would be made into a quick bread with baking soda, and they wouldn't require any laborious kneading. And so with white flour, these are being replaced with yeast bread. So yeast requires attention for rising. It takes longer to rise, and the hard labor of kneading the dough. And this white bread became one of the first symbols of status in the industrial period, indicating that the household could afford both the cash value of white flour and the housewifely or servantly time required for the preparation. And there's a pretty racist quote that was in here, and I'm just going to summarize it as, "Quick breads were thought to be fit only for racial minorities and the Irish at this point." And similarly to nice white bread, bread cakes could only be made with fine flours, and these became hugely popular. And foreigners commented in their letters on this huge popularity, so this wasn't global. And cakes require a heck of a lot of labor and time, so sugar was sold in loaves and had to be beaten, and the eggs and butter had to be worked by hand to be aerated. You need lots of air in that batter to make a nice cake. And so there's a simple cake recipe here, and it required someone to beat the eggs for 45 minutes straight by hand. That sucks. I don't want to do that. But hey, you say, what about the egg beater? That must have been invented pretty quickly. Well, yes, but with the egg beater came the popularity of angel food cakes, where whites and yolks were beaten separately, thus doubling the work. Funny, the more time we have, the more things seem to just fill that time. In summary, the 19th century housewife was spending a lot more time working with flour than her grandmother, and her husband considerably less time than his grandfather. We're seeing this industrial flour is really shifting responsibility and time allocations of the two genders. This is 83, we're only talking about two genders here, so I recognize there are more than two, but for simplicity, we're going to stick with that with this book. And so men's share in domestic activity began to disappear and women's share increase. Thus, housework was truly becoming women's work and not an obligation shared by both sexes. There are other changes that happened similarly this time, like the open hearth being replaced by the cast iron cooking stove. So a stove requires 50 to 90% less fuel. Providing the fuel was the responsibility of the man, so his work is decreasing. While at the same time, cooking on a stove wasn't much less work than cooking on a hearth, and these one-pot or one-dish meals that were popular before began to change to multiple courses. So with a stove, you can simmer a soup, boil potatoes, and bake an apple pie for dinner all at once. Isn't that great? Except it's increasing the amount of time in preparation and the complexity of the cooking required of the person doing it. And also, these iron stoves had to be cleaned and polished every day or they would rust. And cleaning is women's work. You weren't really cleaning that fireplace every day, but you're cleaning that iron stove every day. So it's really no surprise with these reductions of household labors for men meant that men were more likely to be the ones entering the labor force than women. As we are depending more and more on consuming goods, you need to make those wages. Somebody has to go out and work a job, and the woman's really busy, so the men go out. And as each generation of fathers ceased to do these like husbandly duties of the household because they're not required anymore, their sons would learn less and less about how it's done and more about how to get a job that paid wages. Yet each generation of mothers would have found their burden of domestic chores either the same or even heavier, and so each generation of girls continued to be trained in domesticity. The mothers needed help and the girls needed to be ready for holding their own households. Some other examples are like manufactured cloths. So women are still doing the sewing. And when we are able to buy cloth, suddenly we are expected to own more clothing. And owning more clothing means an increase in laundry. Also the type of fabric. So before industrialization, there would be woven wool, felt, and leather outerwears. And these were not washed, they were brushed. And the linen and knitted wool undergarments were rarely laundered. But with cotton becoming more popular, and it is much more washable and actually requires more washing as well, there's just a lot more laundry. And so what we see is in the diaries and letters of 19th century housewives, laundering appears for the first time as a weekly and dreaded chore of exceedingly hard work. When, you know, back, even if you had like a wringer and stuff, it was a lot of work to be doing this laundry. Overall, American women living toward the end of the century probably ate a more varied diet, suffered less from the cold, enjoyed more space and more luxuries in their homes, and kept their bodies and clothes cleaner than their mothers and grandmothers. So I'm not saying it's all bad. Like, this technology is raising our standard of living, but they're not lifting the burden of women's domestic cares in spite of these radical changes in the patterns of daily work at home. And so what we see is that these separate spheres become more ingrained. So there's these patterns of living. Men are going out to do outside work and women are doing the household work. It's becoming very divided. And so as we see in the 20th century, the technological systems for food, clothing, and healthcare, for example, are shifting from production to consumption. So the households aren't producing these things so much as purchasing them. And we need to consider this other technological system of transportation in the work process. If you are buying more things, that means that you need to get them. And in the 19th century, goods were usually delivered or a short walk away. And prior to the motor car, men were usually the ones that would be doing the transportation. So they would be hitching the horse to the buggy and going into town to buy things. But with the automobile coming in around 1930, becoming more popular, women began to replace men as the household suppliers of this transportation service. And especially during the Depression, many businesses wanted to save costs and stop delivering. Doctors were slowly making less house calls and patients had to travel to them. So basically, women are now required to drive to stores, shop, and wait in lines. And as you know, like, that's a lot of work. It takes a lot of time to do all of that. Let's talk about a few technological systems like water. So before modern water supply, women and other members of the family had to produce water for cooking and hot water for bathing and laundering. So they go out and they get the buckets and they bring it. But with these great water supply systems, now women are expected to produce clean toilets, bathtubs, and sinks. And these increased standards of cleanliness essentially means increased productivity. So running hot and cold water eliminated the hard labor that women, men, and children shared of hauling water, but it created new chores and standards for women to hold up to. And then we see automatic washing machines. Oh, great, we don't have to do that hard labor of scrubbing and wringing. Yet it became common practice. So like I said, with the new cotton clothes, lots of clothes, that a lot of ordinary households actually started hiring a laundress or sending their laundry out to be done commercially. But with the automatic washing machines, people started purchasing these appliances so they could dispense with this servant labor. And there's other work that was typically commercially done, like rug cleaning, floor polishing, etc. But with new appliances, it makes more sense for the women to be doing these at home and saving money. So there are some common notions of the impact of 20th century household technology that really deceived us in two ways. One, that households are no longer producing anything particularly important, and that consequently housewives no longer have anything particularly time-consuming to do. And both of these are false. Modern labor-saving devices eliminated drudgery, but not labor. But this is just how things are, right? They couldn't be any other way. Well, there are alternative approaches that could challenge that. Challenge the single family residence, the private ownership of tools, and the allocation of housework to women. There are commercial substitutes to housework, like the laundry I mentioned. You can send it out instead of doing it home. There are some failures that were tried in the past, like cooked food delivery. I'm not talking like special restaurant delivery, but like contracting a business to provide the family with the basic meals it needs 7 days a week. And I'd say like frozen dinners are probably the only comparable substitute to this idea. We still want to make these meals at home generally. Basically, virtually every communal or cooperative housekeeping experiment has failed in America. And many have argued that that is the work of capitalism and patriarchy working together to create and defend this single family home, private ownership of tools, and women doing housework. So, because capitalism has more consumers this way, and patriarchy keeps the women subservient. But that's not the whole story. They certainly influence it, but if you believe that, then you believe that millions of women for 5 to 6 generations just passively accepted a system that was totally out of their control and contrary to their interest. And really, the common condition for all the failures is that most people prefer to live in their own homes with their own relatives, rearing their own children, and regularly sitting down to meals together. They like decorating their houses and dressing according to their own taste and controlling the tools with which they have to do their work. And when decisions have to be made about spending limited funds, most people still opt for privacy and autonomy over technical efficiency and community interest. And so these single-family homes and private ownership of tools are social institutions that act to preserve and to enhance the privacy and autonomy of families. And the allocation of housework is to women is a social convention that developed during the 19th century because of a specific set of material and cultural conditions that I just explained, and they became deeply embedded in our consciousness. That is just how it is. Women do household work and men go out and work for wages. I hope you are following along. We're going to take a little song break. Here is a new one from called The Sons and Daughters of Poor External by a newer band, All Hands Make Light. This is the duo of Ephraim Manuel Minook from Godspeed You, Black Emperor, and the Silver Mount Zion. And also Ariel Engel from Broken Social Scene and La Force. So these are longtime friends and collaborators of the Montreal post-punk community. I hope you enjoy this song. Thank you. You're listening to Nerding Out with Laura on CICK 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. All right, we're just summarizing here that what I've been talking about for the last hour, basically housework became set as a women's job when previously it had been shared between the whole household, and that any reduction in labor that technology brought, it actually brought more expectations of increased productivity. So we're really doing the same amount of work. Household labor is unpaid, and in our capitalist society, that is associated with it not being important. Yet if householders had to pay for every hour of labor performed in the home, they would probably have more economic incentive to prefer more commercial or collaborative solutions to the burden of housework. And what we see going into the 21st century is that transitions to a two-income family really take a toll because of the systems that we have set up. And the employed housewives had to then perform adequately first as employees and then as housewives. So a 35-hour week of housework plus a 40-hour week of paid employment is something that a sweatshop would struggle to match. And the status of a working mother in the Western world is a pretty much guarantee of being overworked and perpetually exhausted. I certainly feel that. I think some of you do as well. And our technological and social systems for doing housework were constructed with the expectation that the people engaged in them would be full-time housewives. And when these housewives began to disappear, the systems could not adjust quickly. You know, our homes are out in suburbs and not close to transportation and services. We don't have enough daycare centers or cheap enough daycare centers. We just have this vast investment into the technological systems that already exist, and it's hard to change them. But we don't have to destroy them. We can just revise the unwritten rules that govern these systems. And we can best solve the problems by helping ourselves and future generations to neutralize both the sexual connotation of housework and the senseless tyranny of spotless shirts and immaculate floors. So ask yourself, is the housework we are expected to do really necessary, or have we been conned into these signals of status? Maybe your clothes don't have to be washed after every wear. That could stem from your association of dirt with poverty and a loss of control. Or maybe these soap manufacturers are convincing you that you need to do all this washing. You could use more wool and linen, which don't require as much washing. And men can be stay-at-home dads, or two working adults of a household can equally share the burden of this housework that is left. You know, I wanted to find more recent publications that reference this work. I found a whopping 3,500 results, so I didn't really have time to get into that. Like I said, I read this whole book yesterday and put this show together. But I'd really love to see more recent speculation and research into this. Like, this is from 1983. It already feels very revolutionary to me. And I'd really be interested in the effects of, like, social media. Like, who else feels a pressure to be baking Instagram-worthy cakes instead of, like, a simple sheet cake for a kid's birthday? Or to have this clean, uncluttered display of a home instead of, like, a normal, cluttered, like, functional home where people live? And I just want you to question these things and think about our history and how these have been constructed in our mind. And that technology, even though it's great, you can have some guilt-free rest. You can go watch Netflix and not feel guilty because, like, your home isn't perfect. And, you know, like, maybe you buy more meals out, or maybe you hire somebody to do some of that housework because it's just too much for you, and maybe you have that disposable income. Like, don't feel guilty about this stuff. It's a heck of a lot to maintain a household. So everyone out there, just, like, enjoy the nice weather, rest, and don't feel guilty about household tasks. We'll live. Your house doesn't have to be spotless. And have a great time out there, everybody. Happy weekend.